Well, good morning once again, church. Get this back so I'm not in the box. I won't hold you all too long today since it's such a glorious day outside. And even though my face is beaming a little bit, it's not as good as what the sun has to offer. But I do want to speak today from the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, and I'm going to read from the fourth chapter in the book, and it's an appropriate subject matter today since we are in the Lenten season. Book of Matthew in the fourth chapter. And it reads as thus, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Father God, we come to you now, open hearts, open minds, open to receive what it is you have for us in this moment. We pray that we put away our thoughts of the week, the thoughts of the future, and just be present so that we may hear what it is you have to say. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 So it is Lent. For those who were here Wednesday night, we had an Ash Wednesday service, at which time we all kind of came forward and came in our repentant state, a place of penitence, of saying, "Lord, we're sorry. Sorry for not being able to live up to what it is you have called us to," understanding that we are living in a sin-soaked world and we are victims of that sin, but we come now gracious, grateful that you still receive us. And over these next 40 days, we will now recognize the fact that you suffered for us. And some of us chose to do something and are suffering for that. Maybe we gave up something. Maybe you're not chewing bubble gum for 40 days or not watching television, or at least not watching the news, maybe. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're giving up meat or fish or Hostess, or I don't know, whatever it might be. Maybe you're giving something up, and that's great. That's great. But the idea is, yes, that we give up something as a show of our sacrifice, but really it's an opportunity to lean in closer to our spirit. See, what it is that giving up something, we're supposed to say, oh, well, because I eat this and I enjoy it, if I give it up, in that time where I would want to have it, instead of wanting it, I'll turn that desire to Christ. Instead of wanting that thing that I want or do that thing that I normally do, instead of doing it, in those moments when I recognize I would normally do it, I'm going to turn that desire and that attention to Christ as a way of drawing closer to the Spirit and an appreciation of our spiritual strength. How our spirit has that ability to carry us through things. When we don't have food, when we don't have the comforts and the other little superficial necessities that we think we need, that our spirit steps up. And so in the scripture, we find Jesus, having just been baptized and anointed, Spirit was upon him. And the first thing God did, the first thing the Spirit told him to do, was go off into the desert and suffer for 40 days with no food and nothing to drink. Man, that's tough. I'm sure if we told you, come, accept Christ as your Savior, and when you finally accept him, you have to go off and not eat or drink for 40 days. We might have a small faction of Christians in this world. But that's what the Spirit asked him to do, to go off and be tested, to suffer. It's a tough call, but this is what was required of him. And so today I want to look at how in our suffering, in our testing, when we're tested in life, because we are tested in life, amen? When we are tested in life, how we can better survive, how we can better lean on our spirit to pull us through. Not our own understanding, not the things we know to do, but our spirit. So the first way is that we have to understand our thirst. Secondly, our taste. And finally, our triumphs, our thirst, our taste, and our triumphs. See, Christ asks us to not just believe in him, have faith in him. That's something we understand. But he really wants us through this journey. That's the first step. But as we go through life and we mature in our spirituality, what we begin to do is really lean more and more and more on our spirit, understanding that that is our source of strength. And that's why we want to come to church and fellowship, so we can be around other spirits that are following Christ. That's why we want to do Bible study, right? So we can read the word and pour into our spirit. These things are strengthening us in our walk, in our faith. And so we find here where Jesus is coming off of those 40 days, he's at his lowest point, at his weakest place, and it's at that time the devil decides to show up. Oh, isn't that just like the devil? Going to find us when we're really down, when we're the most vulnerable place we can be in life. And that's when he's going to come and offer us something that seems at the moment like he can help us out. Have you ever been in that place, struggling with something, trying to make a big decision in life? Maybe things are just not going well. Bad things have happened. And we're upset, questioning our faith in a weak place. And then here comes something that seems like an answer. Oh, well, it's all over the place now. You just turn on the TV, they've got a million answers for you. You feel in a certain way? Here you go, pop this pill. You feel in a certain way, here you go, download this thing. It'll help you out. Subscribe to this service. It'll help you out. Listen to this guy. Buy his book. Then you'll become rich and all your problems will be solved. We're bombarded with quick fixes to our problems. But Christ says that's not how the Spirit works. There's not a quick fix to real problems in your life. We have to understand that it's not just about a quick thing that we can grab and hold on to, but something that has sustenance that will sustain us for the rest of our life. I know a lot of times when my wife met me, I was working and always on the go, and as a convenient way, I would grab a Wendy's every now and then, grab a little quick thing through the drive-thru just to keep me going. And she would always get on me. Why are you doing that? I don't understand. How are you doing that? I was like, well, it's convenient. So in her wisdom, I was working in a studio. She would come to the studio and bring me a meal. Yeah, you know why I married her, right? That way I wouldn't go and spend my little change getting some fast food, which would be gone in an hour or two. I'd be hungry again. But I would have something sustaining in me that would carry me through the day. And in our lives, we have to be on guard for those things that seem too good to be true. If it seems like it's easy, and it probably is easy, then it means easy come, easy go. It's not going to last. We need those things that are going to stay with us. The tough stuff, it seems hard. It may seem like the road less traveled. It may seem like a way that will require more of us, but that's the way that we're going to really grow through it. Dad used to always tell me growing up, you can't cut corners. If you're going to do something, you have to do it right. You have to do it the way that's required. If we try to skirt the process, do it an easier way, well, we might not get it right. I used to joke around a lot, and I say that there's a thin line between laziness and genius. Because I'll study something and try to find the quickest and easiest way to get it done. But that's not always the best way. So we have to be on guard for that. Vince Lombardi once said it, the great football coach, that fatigue makes cowards of us all. We go through life and go through things and it wears us down. We get tired. We just don't feel like doing much else. When one thing drags us down, we don't have the energy to give to other things. And where we should take on a challenge of something, maybe be able to help somebody out, rise up to a situation, we just don't have the energy. Feel tired, fatigued. Oh, this life is so busy. So much things to do. Everybody I talk to when I'm catching up with friends, hey, what's going on? How's it going, man? Oh, man, just busy, man, just busy. Running, you know how it is. Yeah, I had to change my mantra. I was like, I'm tired of sounding like y'all. Y'all making me tired. I know life is busy, but you know what? I'm trying to be calm about it. I'm trying to take it on. I was in the office this week, and Lady G came in, and all this stuff was going on. We had the stew this week, and I'm getting acclimated. And she says, are you okay? It's a lot going on. I said, yeah, this is nothing. I'm laid back, man. I'm from the Northeast. You know, bring it on. Give me some more stuff to do. But that's what happens. There's so much to do. We feel drawn. We feel pulled in this way and that way, and this is happening. You got kids, you got the job, you got the to-do list of all this stuff to do in life. It just doesn't stop. And we feel like I just can't take on anything else. But that's where we need to find our strength. We need the thirst for God. It's in those moments God is looking at us. How are we going to respond? You're stretched thin. You don't feel that you have any more. God says, lean on me. Find me. That's when I want you to look to me for your strength. Because I have the ability to cut through all of the gobbledygook, All the world's coming at you. Everything that you feel is overwhelming. I have the ability to cut through all of it. And even maybe it's not taken away, but within the storm, he's the calm. They have whole studies on this. There's a whole movement. I'm sure you may know people that take yoga, right? They do all this, the meditation and all these ways. You sit at your desk now and the thing beeps and it says, breathe, son, breathe, just breathe. Right? Things are telling you how to get through it. There's a lot going on, but just stay calm through it. Well, that's what God is saying. When you're in the desert and you're thirsting and you're hungry and nothing seems to be able to meet the needs that you have, draw on me. Look to your spirit. Thirst for me, not the world. Oh, we all have our issues in life. God's trying to work them through. And he's saying, don't respond to the word from your weak place, as we tend to do. See, if I'm in a vulnerable state and someone says something to me, even if they don't mean it wrong, if I hear it wrong, it's just going to turn me against them because I can't deal with something else. I don't have time for you. I've got all this other stuff. But when we are in that place where we know where our strength comes from, then we can walk around, and when someone comes to us and they actually are saying something that's negative or harsh, trying to attack us, we're not even going to feel the attack. We're going to see exactly what it is. We're going to see that they're hurting. They're coming from a place of their weakness. They're tired. Life has them in a tough place. It's not about me. They're not attacking me. They're trying to express what's going on in their life. And this is the best way they know how. Can we receive that? Can we be that for other people? We don't take it harshly. But we see them in love. And we understand their weakness. This is what God is calling for us, the thirst for him. And as we're being tested, don't just fall victim to the test, but understand that the taste that we should have is we should taste Christ in our life. The Bible says, taste me. In Proverbs, he says, taste me and see that I am good. And what he's saying is, try me out. You've allowed all these other things in your palate. We chew on so many different ideas, different ways of being. He's saying, try me. And the devil in his cunningness is always trying to get Christ to just look at himself, saying, if you are the Son of God, do this. Oh, if you're the Son of God, you have all this power, then why don't you just do this? And that's how we fall victim. We look at ourselves and we want to glorify who we are and what we are, the things that we do. And it's okay to have esteem. You should have self-esteem. You should be glad for the things that you've accomplished in your life. But also have the perspective of knowing where your strength comes from. This is a spiritual journey. Regardless of how it manifests in the physical, that we receive certain accolades and get certain things, the reward comes within our spirit in drawing closer to our source. Knowing that in that moment I was able to rise up, I drew closer. I drew from a place I never knew was there. I tasted something I had never tasted before. I realized something about myself that I had never realized before, that I could do it. I didn't think I could. I didn't have the wherewithal to know that I could actually do this thing and go through that. But when I relied on God and I went through anyway, and he drew something out of me that was greater than I thought I could do myself, that's the taste. Muhammad Ali and he was fighting Big George Foreman down in the rumble in the jungle, they call it. And there was a documentary called When We Were Kings. It was a really good documentary. They're down in Kinshasa, Africa, and they're getting ready for this fight. And it was the rainy season. And you're thinking, Africa, rainy season. Ha, ha, ha. That's a joke, right? But they have a rainy season. And when it rains, it rains. It rains enough so it can last them for the next 8 months. So they're in the rain season, and it's pouring down torrential rain so bad that they can't have the fight because it's an outdoor event. So they're prolonged for 6 weeks. And during the 6 weeks time, they're following around Ali. And if you know anything about him, he was quite a character. Always had something to say. And they caught him one time in the room, and he wasn't favored to win. He was just coming off of his retirement, or it was semi-retirement. You know, he had been banned from boxing. So this was one of his first fights back. And it was against Big George Foreman. He wasn't supposed to win. Everybody had Ali losing. He's an old man now. He hasn't fought in a while. And George was just knocking everybody out in the first round, just mowing them down. So it seemed like, you know, it was money. It was just a money grab for Ali. He was coming back so he could get him another check or whatever. So they're interviewing him, and they're asking him, Ali, what are you going to do, man? You know, this guy, he's going to wear you out. Aren't you scared? And Ali started talking. And he says, well, you know, you're right. I step in that ring, and I just look at that big man, and I look at little old me, and you're right. I would be scared. I would be scared to death to fight that big man, knowing and seeing what he's done to other people. But I can't go in there like that. When I go in there, I think he's just a man, but I'm a child of God. And the God in me has told me that I can beat this man, or he wouldn't have placed me here at this moment. And the God in me knows that he can do all things that he wants to do. And if I believe in that God, if I rely on that source to carry me into that fight, then I'm not coming in as Ali. I'm coming in as the creator that made Ali. And that's going to allow me to beat that little man over there who doesn't know my God. I imagine that's how David felt, looking at Goliath. Everyone's saying, what is this little boy doing? David didn't blink, did he? Because he knew his purpose. He knew where to draw his strength from. What are the giants in your life? What are the big George Foremans in your life that are staring at you and you're looking at them as little old me? I can't take that on. That's too big. But if God has put that purpose in your heart, look down in your spirit. Pull from that strength and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Order my steps. So that if you open the door and there's a giant there, I'm not worried because you opened the door. So you must want me to step in there and teach that giant something. That's how the Spirit works. In all things, we should rely on our spiritual strength, the Holy Spirit that we have been blessed with as believers. If we know that, if we thirst for him, we taste of his strength, then he promises us a triumph. He promises us the victory. There's a famous speech called Make Your Bed by Admiral William McCraven. If you haven't heard it, Google it, listen to it. It's inspiring. I could listen to it every day. Well, I could, but I don't listen to it every day. But when you're feeling rough or you know someone that's feeling rough, it's a good one. But he goes and he's talking about the simplicity of making your bed every day. A simple act, something very simple that he does. And how doing that one thing allows him the confidence to move through his day. Maybe in our case, it can be something even simpler, reading a Bible verse in the morning, saying a prayer. But he goes on because he's talking about his training to become a Navy SEAL and what you go through and how becoming a SEAL, that whole idea of it is they put you through these horrible things to do because they want to weed out your weaknesses, mental weakness, physical weakness, because they understand what you're going to have to go through on the other end. Reminds me of what Jesus had to do. But he's talking about all these different things that the SEALs have to do. And he was saying on one occasion, it was a group of them, and they had to come from the boat and get in these small rafts and paddle their way across rough seas to the shore. And it was more of like a race. So it was six different crews, and first one to get to the shore and get off and do all the things they had to do and get to the flag would always win. And he said that every time, the short crew would always win. It was a little crew. They were the shortest guys, and they were all from all over different areas of the world and of America. And they were saying they would always joke them, you know, because they would call them the munchies, right, because they were all little guys. And he said, but these little guys every time would beat us. We'd get in there, and we start paddling, and they would just have it together. And he said, what we learned from that is you can't judge someone by the outside. You can't measure a person's heart by their size. Again, reminding me of David and what Christ had to go through. He talks about their inspection, how they would have to go through these inspections every morning. And most of the time, the commandeer would find something wrong. Just something. He would pick at them and find something that was wrong. And when he found something that was wrong, they would have to run out into the shore, get into the water, and roll around in the sand over and over and over and over again, rolling around in the sand. They would call it being sugar cookied. And they'd have to stay like that for the remainder of the day, go through everything they had to do, and stay just like that. And he said what he learned from that was, even though you can't be perfect in life, and you're going to make mistakes that maybe stay on you, you can't allow those things to hold you back from what your mission is. We have to push on through regardless of what's happening. The things that we feel have weighed us down in life. And one of my favorite parts he talks about is they have to go under, they have to dive in the water at night and go to the bottom of the ship, the keel. Right, Jay? I got educated. They have to go to the keel, which is the lowest point of the ship. It's a little, the edge right at the bottom. So they have to dive down. They can't have lights, nothing they could use. And they'd have to swim all the way down and find their way, take their time and get down there. And he said it was very easy to be disoriented. Because when you get down to the bottom, it's pitch black. You can't see anything. And it's at that moment where you have to be absolutely calm. Find your composure. Think of all the skills that you had learned. And be able to navigate using your inner strength. Using your inner strength. And isn't that what God is asking us to do? In your darkest moments. When you're in your deserts, you can't rely on what we see, can't rely on the things that we used to know how we used to operate. There comes a time where there's no other alternative but to use our spiritual strength, what's within, what God has put inside of us, because it's there. But do we pull it out Do we put ourselves in that place where we're relying on that, drawing that out of us? Where we break ourselves down and we say, all right, Lord, I'm sorry. I've done all that I can do, but now, please, I'm leaning on you. You come and help me out of this situation. You come and show me what it is I need to do in this hour of need. Even if things you think things are going good, you should be able to call on that place with ease. Say, Lord, I'm open to you. Have thine own way. Do what it is you want to do in this moment. So in our Lenten season, let us look to the Lord. Let us look to what he has for us. As the band comes forward, there are going to be things in these next 40 days, good, bad, however it may come. Let us take this opportunity to really look inward. Get back in touch with our spiritual walk. What that means, what that looks like. Our prayers, our quiet moments, find the calm amongst the storms.